Good morning. I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus. And joining us today are some special guests, Neve Thompson, Dan Scanio, and our very own Dr. Carlos Tarin. And they're here to talk about something that's going to be taking place later this afternoon. And first of all, before we continue, Neve, Dan, thank you so much for being with us here today.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you.
Lovely campus.
Thank you. And as I mentioned, Dr. Tarin is with us as well. Carlos is the head of our debate and speech team here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Carlos, thank you so much for being with us. And if you wouldn't mind telling us a little bit about how this event that's happening later today came about.
So the National Communication Association, which is the national organization for communication studies, has a committee on international discussion and debate, CIDD, and they host international travel and correspondence where international students come and do a tour of campuses across the United States. And so they put out an application, we put in a bid, and they accepted our bid to let the students come here.
And how does that work as far as the competition and the bid, and what are they looking for specifically?
So they're looking at, one, I think they're trying to look for geographic diversity, so it's not just campuses all in one part of the country. They're trying to look at different types of institutions, and they're looking at institutions that have the resources and are going to be willing to accommodate the students that are here visiting.
And we'll talk a little bit more about the event later today. But first, I mentioned we have Neve and Dan. Neve Thompson, she is actually a doctor from the University of Glasgow in Scotland. And if you wouldn't mind telling us, Neve, a little bit about yourself. First of all, have you always been interested in debate and speech since you were young?
Yeah. I definitely have been. my parents would tell you I was a very argumentative child, and that's only gotten worse as I've aged, I'm afraid. So now I have a sort of semi-professional interest in arguing with people, but, you know, communicating and public speaking as well.
What about you, Dan?
Very similar. I've always sort of been very argumentative, and that's just who I am as a person. I've enjoyed it very much, and it sort of helps with my legal background as well in terms of my role.
Tell us a little bit about how you all are selected to be part of this team and representing your country. How does that work?
That's a good question. It's just like a job application. You apply, and they look at your debate experience, your debate CV, and also your CV in general, and what you'll be like in terms of dealing with very intense schedule, and I think it suits us considering my legal background and also Neve's doctorate as well, so it makes sense.
And how does this work as far as the different countries from across the world? How many teams, how many countries are represented? Do you know, Carlos?
Well, on this particular tour, it's just Great Britain. So it's just us touring the U.S. on this occasion.
Yes.
I'm actually not aware of how many other tours there are that are organized by the CIDD.
I know that, obviously, the ESU, the English-speaking union, has done more tours around the world.
Sure.
So sending the British team not just to the U.S., but to Japan, to
Denmark.
Romania, Denmark.
Yeah,
all over. So,
as I mentioned, Dr. Tarin is with us, Carlos Tarin. If you wouldn't mind sharing with us this afternoon, what we're going to see, if people show up, what can they expect?
A roaring good time, I hope. So two of our students from UTEP, Sabrina Bustillos and Alexis Vega, will be debating our two guests. The topic that they have chosen to debate is that this house believes there should be no limits on comedy. And so it's a structured debate where there will be an affirmative position and a negative position, and it should be accessible and fun for the public.
This is a topic, as we were discussing before the program started, that has been, not want to say controversial, but it's beginning to be very popular because of shows like Saturday Night Live, comedians on the talk circuit, and how some people say, well, they shouldn't be saying these things about certain people. But at the same time, what you all are going to address this afternoon, it's going to be, is it good or is it bad? Tell us a little bit about what you all had to do as far as preparing for something like this, because you don't know what our students are going to talk about, right?
And we're sort of very used to having about 15 minutes preparation and having just to think very quickly on what the other side are going to come up with and how we're going to beat them. That's just something you practice with time. You just get better the more you do it. So it's the way that we've sort of structured it is both Neve and I, we have about four or five minutes to ourselves to go through some ideas, brainstorm ourselves, and then we come together and discuss them and try and develop them and fit ones together and then prioritize them as well. Right, this is what you're going to take. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm going to take. Is there a logical flow to it as well? Mm-hmm. What is your main point? What is your second point? How can I assist you as well?
Yeah, like Dan says, in British parliamentary debating, the motion is announced and you have 15 minutes to prepare. So you can't really, you're not allowed to Google things. You can only go in with something written on paper and you can only go off your own knowledge. So this is quite luxurious for us to have the opportunity to actually make sure that our context is as thoroughly well understood, that we actually know what the local legislation is and things like that. So we're more used to a slightly sweatier prep time.
So yeah.
How about this, as far as, because you just mentioned, you made a great point about you're not allowed to Google anything, and it seems like in this day and age of social media, a lot of things can come up, and sometimes too many facts, because, you know, when a doctor tells you, and you being yourself a doctor, this is what's wrong with you, and somebody goes and looks it up, and all of a sudden they just diagnose themselves with, you have 3 days to live, and that's it.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think people these days really feel they're at a sort of saturation point with information and facts, and you hear it when people say things like, we're tired of experts, but we're also tired of getting constantly different narratives with different sets of facts you can confirm. And I think that we expect your average person in this day and age to be able to analyze the facts that they are given at an almost PhD level to be able to provide reasonable political commentary. And it's a really high burden that we're asking of people. It's a really hard thing to do, to actually be truly politically informed on the broad range of issues that, and political questions that our politicians ask of us in this day and age is really hard. So, yeah, you know, it's definitely a difficult job to try and get your facts correct. And I think, and it's one of the things I'm really enjoying about this tour and the opportunity that we're having now, is the chance to almost use each debate like a case study and to really get into the depth of what the issues are and analyze them properly with time. Because,
and so at the end of the presentation, when you all are finished, do you just kind of leave it in the hands of the audience, whoever's listening, and they make up their mind to decide which way it went?
Up to the chair, really. So the chair may have a vote. We've been at some universities where they've had a vote, others where it's up to them, and they can leave the debate and decide for themselves. Other times it's been a voting system.
Yeah, so each host is doing their own thing.
Yeah.
Okay, because that's one of the things that I think American media has been criticized about, the fact that instead of giving you the facts and telling you what you should or not shouldn't believe, they say this is the way you should go, and then another channel will say, no, this is the way you should go, and then somebody else says, we don't care as long as you go, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, something that and we've discussed this as well on this tour, lots of debaters might be tempted to lie whilst debating, and the problems with that, particularly if it's actually in a professional practice, i.e. certain politicians, that can't happen. We don't endorse that at all. Just don't lie. Honesty, integrity is so important. So, yeah, we always encourage debaters, if you haven't got a specific example, don't worry about it.
But I agree, and I think one of the nice things about the debate is that we're getting the opportunity to try and persuade people what to think and giving them analysis as opposed to just telling them what to think.
Yes.
It's quite a big distinction from how your political analysts and pundits work, and I think it's a nice opportunity, and we've certainly had the really satisfying experience of a couple of the students who are very pro for First Amendment rights in all in all their variations and iterations, coming up to us after the debates and saying, oh, actually, like, I finally understand why there actually is a case for this, and they kind of seeing a new perspective. So, I mean, that's really what the tour is about, and that was really a fabulous experience for us.
Yeah.
We're visiting with Neve Thompson and Dan Scagno, and they are going to be taking place in a debate this afternoon, talking about this House believes there should be no restrictions on comedy. And Dr. Carlos Tarin, the director of our forensics team, is here as well. And Carlos, if you wouldn't mind sharing with our audience as far as what the rules are, how it's going to work, the speaking times, and how you prepared your students for this.
Yeah, so our students, like they were saying, typically, they don't find out the topic until just before the round. So in this case, it's a little bit different in that it's a pre-planned topic. But for the last few days, they've been researching their position, outlining their arguments, and figuring out sort of the strategy that they plan to take to the round. But in terms of the speaking times, it's really two people debating against two people, and they alternate back and forth between an affirmative position and an opposition perspective.
How does the debate open up? Do you read what
So I'll give an overview to what is parliamentary debate and sort of the origins of it. there is a little bit of audience participation encouraged. So, you know, if you hear a position that you might enjoy, you can knock on a table to show your support or something like that. But there will be an introduction so that even people that have no experience with debate should know what's going on.
Sometimes, and I think it's because of social media as well, we'll find people talking about debate, or if they think about a debate, they automatically think of an argument, and they automatically think, oh, these people are just can't agree with each other. They're arguing back and forth, and then going back to whether it be Saturday Night Live or the news that we see people in Congress, one party against the other party, and then they see you all, and you're presenting it in a different way where they might say, you know, I never thought about it that way. But the way that they're telling me now, perhaps maybe there should be restrictions on comedy, or no, that's exactly why I don't think there are restrictions.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that, you know, historically in the States, your culture of debate on television has become far removed from what actual debate is like for your students here. And I have no doubt that your students debate at a much higher standard than your pundits. I think it's really important to provide a counter to that sort of crossfire style of competitive arguing, which is really lacking in substance in most of the political analysts' shows.
I couldn't agree more with that. And that's something that we are very keen on doing when we teach debating, is just think about another side. You can still have your view, but recognize another side and grow your reasoning. If you only understand one view, it's not very holistic. So understand a broader context of it and where you're going with that. And that's why I like the legal system, because you've got two sides and then you have to come to a conclusion. It's not just left out in the open. Mm-hmm. It at least tries to get somewhere and come up with an answer. And recognizing both sides, recognizing both sides, but leaning towards one.
A lot of times when people think of a debate or a presentation, they're thinking about perhaps something political, some kind of laws, etc. But this is completely different. This is something that we all can relate to. I mean, we can all relate to different laws and stuff, but the fact that this is something that we talk about all the time, somebody can say a joke, some of you watch something on television. So tell us about when you present this to the audience, and you only have 15 minutes to prepare beforehand, how do you go about carrying on?
When you say carry on, do you
As far as like somebody says, well, I think, Dan, that that's not right. And my example is this. So there. And so then you come back and you say, well, you forgot this, you forgot that.
Yeah.
And Neve will say, well, something, wait a minute, you guys forgot this. You're just saying or telling us that there are different ways or different sides to a certain story, and it just can't be A or B.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely, yes. And usually in the debate, there are things such as they call points of information or POIs. During the middle of the debate, the other side can stand up at any point, say point of information or point of clarity, POI, and ask a direct, short, concise question to try and either clarify a point and to rebut it later, or to argue and say, actually, you're wrong because of this. And then that speaker has to then argue straight away. It's very exciting, and it's very nerve-wracking as well, but it really progresses the debate as well, and you're not just putting forward one position, you're having to at least consider that as well. And the difference between debating and public speaking is what I say, is public speaking, you've got a lovely speech and you sort of flow in a progressive way, but that's it. With debating, you've always got to be listening and directly responding to the other side. Mm-hmm. So at the beginning, usually the beginning is rebuttal and going against the other side. And then you could say, after you've dealt with their negative points, you provide your positive substantive points.
Before we wrap up the program, you mentioned before the program started that you all had a blog. Tell us a little bit about that and what's the address on the website so people can go look for it?
Yes.
So it's www.esgamerica2019.
Yes.
It's just a blog sort of with updates and pictures and sort of a little bit of our opinions and experiences of what's happened so far. So we've got a couple of entries up about what's happened in Ohio and Columbus, where we were fortunate enough to be in Otterbein for the Democratic presidential primary candidate debates and had a fantastic time, and we're sort of giving our opinions on the debates and how they progressed. So we've got some updates and quite a few pictures.
Yes.
Many holiday snaps.
it's very silly. silly and it's very fun, but it hopefully it's informative as well of what we're doing and why we're doing it as well.
So, Carlos, tell us a little bit about this afternoon, where it's going to be at, what people need to do. They just show up or do they have to reserve a ticket or anything like that?
So it is open admission and the event will be at 1 p.m. in the Union Cinema in the UTEP Student Union.
And I would encourage everyone who's listening to come. It will be a lot of fun. Some really interesting points will be made. And at the end, I believe they can ask questions. Yeah. They can. So if you want to disagree with us, you're more than welcome to do
so.
Oh,
we love a good question.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for being with us. Well,
thank you for inviting us.
Thank you very much.
We've been visiting with Neve Thompson and Dan Scanio. They are British debaters who are here to take on our students, and that will be again this afternoon at 1 o'clock at the Union Cinema. And it's open admission, as Dr. Tadin mentioned, and you can go in and hear Neve Thompson, Dan Scanio. Our students are Sabrina Bustillos and Alexis Vega. And our thanks again to Dr. Carlos Tadin, the director of the program. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Sam Cassiano. Our producer is Dee Wu. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sines.